This is the Cardboard Cave Podcast. You are fools, go!
Yes, I did. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Cardboard Cave Podcast, where we talk about everything and anything cardboard related. As well, we want to thank all of you that have been subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you for your support. We have risen to 75 subscribers. Thank you for your support, guys. Really, it's very, very happy that we are growing in every channel. So remember to follow us in all of our social media. Like that, you guys can get notified when a new video, a new podcast, or our live shows are available for you. So tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of topics from the Magic the Gathering community, as well as some cards that are going to be releasing in Secret Lair, and as well promos that are going to be available for your RCQ. So before I present everybody from our show, I want to get some things off the top. So I just wanted to tell you guys that the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game set is going to be available for you on sale in 2 days. So this Friday, you will be able to buy Photon Hypernova. That it's one of the new sets that is going to be coming out for 2023 as well. If you go to our Facebook page, we have posted a lot of like little gadgets that will spice up your Yu-Gi-Oh! Experience, I would say, like playmats, portfolios, deck boxes, sleeves, and as well, they have something that is really interesting that caught my eye yesterday, is that they have like a pot collection, so you can buy all the jars that are available in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community. So that is something that's great if you are a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player as well. Important dates for the Magic community. So very quick and easy, February 17 to 19 is the Pro Tour Philadelphia. That's what we call the AKA, if I'm not mistaken, that is going to be on the Philadelphia Con for Magic the Gathering from April 22 until August 20. Is the Pioneer RCQ round for PT4, May 5 to 7, Pro Tour 2, Minneapolis, May 20th to July 2nd, Regional Championships for PT3, July 28 to 30, Pro Tour number 3 in Barcelona, from September to December, Modern RCQ round for PT5, and then September 3 till November 26 is the regional championships for PT4. So remember, guys, that all of these, due to the new rules, every certain amount of time, the regionals and the regionals and the pro tours will change depending on the format. So let's go ahead and present one of our hosts of the show, the one and only, the master of the cube, the master of darkness, the master of the dark arts as well, the one and only JP.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, JP? How are you doing today?
I am not doing so hot, but I'm here and I am ready to talk about magic. I think I'm just starting to catch a cold.
Oh God, yes, we spoke about that behind the scenes. And as well, Chris is supposed to be with us, but apparently he is stuck on the toilet. So sorry, Chris, I put it out there. So he's apparently stuck in the toilet. He will be here in a couple of minutes. So let's go ahead and talk about the first topic of tonight. It's the title of this show and this episode, because I think this is the most important topic besides the fact that we just like new cardboard. But this topic will bring concern to us and bring concern to all of you that love Magic the Gathering. So this article came out yesterday. It says the following: Hasbro continues to destroy customer goodwill and the stock could crash 29% as it dilutes the value of Magic the Gathering. Bank of America says the following. They say that Hasbro stock has 29% downside potential as it continues to dilute the brand's value of Magic the Gathering. That's according to Bank of America, which reiterated its underperform rating on the stock in a Tuesday note. Within its Wizards segment, Hasbro continues to destroy customer goodwill by trying to over-monetize its brand. So, there you go. Let's read this this statement right here. Hasbro continues to dilute the brand's value of its popular Magic the Gathering card game, according to a Tuesday note from Bank of America, which says the company faces a steep decline in its share price if it continues to destroy customer goodwill. So, JP, this is something that we've been talking about. I think we did talk about it, I think an episode ago or two episodes ago, that there is a high chance. Yeah, we did talk about it a bit. There is a chance that Wizard of the Coast might have a ticking clock. And maybe the ticking clock might be lasting 4 years or 5 years due to the over product. Yeah. Exactly. Recently we had the new set that came out, Phyrexia All Will Be One, on January 30th. They had pre-orders for a new Secret Lair Super Drop, and there's more products on their way. So, JP, now you hear this, that Hasbro stock keeps declining and declining and declining. Do you think that with that note, Wizard of the Coast does have a ticking clock?
I don't think Wizards of the Coast has a ticking clock, because they have other aspects of the game and other aspects that they can handle by themselves. We kind of sometimes have to understand that we can divide Hasbro and Wizards as two companies, even though it's like one company and their parent company. In this case, but the reason being is Wizards has other IPs. Though other IPs does not excuse for the fact that it's still like problematic, especially given how recently they've done like the OGL things with the Open Gaming License with D&D. And they did come out with an article recently, or like a statement recently, that say that all the boycotts from D&D Beyond did not affect the decide. It was not a deciding factor on whether the OGL 1.1 came into existence. Again, for our listeners who have not heard our previous podcast and have not heard of this news, the OGL, or the Open Gaming License, was going to be changed by Wizards of the Coast. They're going to basically try to monetize and make the game a la microtransactions. Mm-hmm. And even though that's greedy and probably very wrong, in long term, they were going to try to steal content and sell it as well. And you can use content from, like, you can homebrew content that was paid was no longer going to be a thing. And it was just a lot of other things. Like, it was just so much in that one Open Gaming License draft, because it was leaked. That's the thing, it was leaked. So, another, I got that out of the way. They said that D&D Beyond, the subscription service of Wizards of the Coast for Dungeons and Dragons, it got boycotted, and hundreds of people deleted their accounts. And then they said, "Oh, that didn't affect our decision making." Which, if you have to make a statement about it not making a difference, I'm pretty sure it just made a difference. It made a very big difference, because you're hitting them in where it matters, which is the wallet. They lost a lot of users. In other words, so in other news, Pathfinder gained a lot of users, especially because they just, you know, when you don't mess with something that hasn't been broken, maybe you know, you don't get a lot of backlash.
No, yeah. Like, let's put it, for instance, let's go ahead and talk about that open gaming license. I'm gonna show something to our viewers, and if you are a listener, very simple, you guys can go ahead and I'll give you guys a minor I will provide you guys a link on the chat. So Pathfinder say, so you want to try out Pathfinder, it's easy, you just go to humblebundle.com, and for a very low price of $25 you get 28 PDF.
They're like capitalizing. Oh, this is perfect. This is like,
yes,
capitalizing on it.
Like, you not only get books like the Game Mastery Guide, NPC Game Mastery Guide for NPC Pawn Collection. You get stories out of this, and then this one has a Foundry VTT, so that means that you can use this in a VTT platform. You have as well, I imagine, that these are printable figures or maps, because they have a couple. As well, they have I did see it last yesterday because I am planning on getting this. Okay. Oh, here. No, is this the one? No. They even have the foldable thing for the DM, here's GM. I did see it yesterday. I don't see it today. Maybe it's because I maybe read it wrong, but I think that they do bring even the DM, the foldable thing, the DM screen. It brings that as well for $25. And then the thing is that I want to be honest with all of you. So in Humble Bundle, you're technically not buying the product. You're donating an amount of money to get the product. So the donation is going for Code for America. That's where your donations will be. The other thing is that you can adjust your donations. You can do custom amounts extra for charity, and you can give a portion to Humble Bundle. Most of the time, what I do is that I raise this, and I try, you know, Humble Bundle always in a point, it will just stick on one price and not just give more to the charity than to Humble Bundle. So this is great, you know. So the OGL was going to affect everything. As well, one of the things that I put on the table is, if they are able to say yes to this second OGL, but it didn't happen, I said, well, this gaming license could happen to Magic the Gathering content creators. Because right now there's a lot of content creators for Magic the Gathering, including ourselves. Even though this year we're opening the horizons to other TCGs, and there's more to come for you guys. But yeah, I would say that this conundrum that's happening with Hasbro, I think that what I mentioned in one of our podcasts, that Wizard of the Coast has to one day have their shareholders and the board and sit down and think about this very, very well and be like, okay, we either keep making money, but our publisher keeps lowering their prices, we're freaking out our shareholders, so what we're going to do? So my advice to them is the following, is to Wizard of the Coast, buy yourselves again. I think that that's one of the ways that you guys can go. and get back to being yourselves again, where you bring product, but it's quality product. Even though we still were getting, before Hasbro, we're still getting cards that crimped cards and whatnot, but back in the day, Wizard of the Coast was different. You know, we the players weren't that worried, you know, of being bombarded with so many product. And I guess that there are certain products that you guys, if Wizard of the Coast would have maintained or completed, that would have been great. You know, the spell books, instead of you guys just doing two commander collections, you would have just done the final two spell books and you would have gotten a win. And then make a set of commander collections. The From the Vault as well, even a lot of people enjoyed the last one that was From the Vault Transform. A lot of people enjoyed it, even though people already knew that some LGS stores were selling them overpriced. But if you could find that one in a good price, you were good to go. I just say that this scares me a little bit, just because one does not know what's the outcome of it. This keeps lowering. So that's at least what I say. One of the other statements that is something that I want you to see, want to get your opinion of, is that Bank of America, apparently they have like a team that goes out and asks questions and whatnot. They went towards players. I imagine that they went to different local game stores to ask questions. Like, what do you think about what's going on with Magic Gathering? They are talking to store owners, and everybody is saying the same thing. The only thing that they don't like is the convolution of so much product. While the $1,000 for booster pack set was there, a set was already released or releasing. As well, there was a secret layer drop as well, in pre-order stage. So there's so many things happening at the same time that you're not giving a chance for the people to breathe. So what do you think about that, JP? You know, the fact that fans and people are saying exactly the same thing.
There's not much to say. It's just we'd just be reiterating what we as content creators, and in this case players, have been saying for a while. The oversaturation of the amount and the amount of products that have been thrust upon us these last few years is like actually affecting the state of the game, to the point where shareholders and the outside world, like not just like the TCG world, is like the actual, you know, world, is just actually looking at it like, yeah, this is an untapped market, and it's being currently bombarded by bad management. So
that is true. That is completely utterly true. You know, it is something that I hope that Wizard of the Coast notices, even though probably it's not their fault. But I hope that they do notice, like, hey, you're pushing too much product. Even in this set, in All Will Be One, it is a lot to handle, because you either get a draft booster box, a set booster box, a collector booster box, you got the regular bundle, the complete edition bundle. They're like 5,000 different art styles for some cards. Even though I say that's good, because, you know, maybe that card is expensive in one format and another art style it's a little bit much more affordable. But we're getting so much product, it's like ridiculous. And then when a new set comes out, there is a secret layer for that new set. So it's kind of crazy, you know. It is crazy when all of this continues happening, right? So now going about secret layers. So there was a secret layer drop announced. It was the winter super drop, because why not Wizard of the Coast? Why give us more product when 2023 is about to arrive? So there's a couple of the sets. There's one of them that I don't know the cards because they're in Phyrexian. I know some of them.
I know them.
Okay. So here is the first one of the drops. Go ahead and move myself. Oh, yeah, I can see it here. So we have this drop that it brings Braid of Fire, Koth of the Hammer. That's the OG Koth, Master of the Wild Hunt, and Karthus, Tyrant of Jund. Right? Yeah, Tyrant of Jund. What do you think about this one? Will you get this one? You know, even though if you...
That's probably the weakest of all the drops. I think it was Seth from... Like, Seth Saffron Olive from MTG Goldfish. He was like, oh, yeah, this would be a great drop if it were, you know, from 2006 or something like that. Because it's not good in comparison to the others.
Yeah,
this is the dud one.
You know, out of the four cards, the only one that I'm like interested is Braid of Fire.
And Braid of Fire got reprinted in the list as a foil. Like, only comes in foil in the list. I already have one exactly foil from the list.
Interesting. I like it because at least for mono red decks is good, you know.
It's on your upkeep. You need to find a way to use that mana, but otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's in the upkeep, but if you're mono red instance or non-creature spells.
I know one deck I was maybe planning on making could use it, so I'll think about it later. I have one.
There's a very interesting take. I really do like it. I mean, I really like the card, not the drop, not this one. Let's go to the next one. Next one is Secret Lair drop. This is Binder. My bad, Binder of the 90s.
It brings
Alms Collector, Crescent, Sunmare, Gore Claw, Terror of Quail,
Kalsisma,
Rin and Siri, Inseparable, and as well Exotic Orchard.
So, what I want to say about this drop is this is the third time you can get exotic, like the third time you can get exotic Orchard as a foil.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is from its original printing in Conflux, which is around a $63 card. The second printing is the Surge foils for Warhammer.
Yeah.
And this is the third printing that can come in foil. Every other printing of this card has been Commander and has been like mega printed in Commander.
Yep.
But it hasn't had a proper, like, it doesn't have a foil. There's only one set that has had a foiling, which is Conflux, and the other two, which are technically included, is a specialty set. And if you like that type of art, this is like perfect for that. I love Goreclaw. I love that art for Goreclaw. I love it so much.
Yeah, I like Goreclaw, and I like the Exotic Orchard. Goreclaw for my Bears Commander.
And Ren and Seri reprint is also very, very key, as this card was reaching the $60 mark, $50 mark.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Ren and Seri is a buy a box promo.
All right, from Ikoria.
From M19. M19 or M20 or M21. One of those, one of the last few core sets, because it was a box buy a box promo, and that set had
M21.
Okay, yeah, it was the last one. So it had a buy a box promo, and that set had a dogs and cats focus.
Mm-hmm.
At least one of the archetypes. So
I like the art. The artwork is fun. Awesome. I like the fact that it does represent the 90s because it's like so
bright.
Yeah, it's like so bright. And Yeah, I don't know why people at this hour in Puerto Rico, they're like, hey, let me drive my little bicycle with an engine on it. So I do like the artwork. The artwork looks fine. One of the things that I did speak to one of our friends, Raven, I did mention to her that some of the cards in this drop are good. You know, yeah. I like that they're here. But I think that there are cards that you could have like chose other ones. Like I think Elms Collector and the Crest Sunmare could have been changed. But because the other three, Goreclaw, Rin, and Exotic, are fine. Because they look good. Are cards that are played in Commander. So yeah. It's just an opinion.
I agree to an extent. Maybe not everything needs to be Commander focused. Mm-hmm. So if Goreclaw and Renunciary and Exotic Orchard are obviously included because they are good Commander cards, maybe Elms Collector could have been a creature that just happens to be a cat or a dog that's also good. Mm-hmm. in other formats. The only one that comes to mind is Leonin Elder or Leonin Abunas. It's a Leonin.
You mean the one that one attacks creates two tokens?
No. A Leonin Arbiter. There we go.
Arbiter. That's the one that attacks
it. You can't. Yeah, that one's semi-used in Modern, but not anymore that much. So it could have made a fringe deck have more access to a pretty card. And the Crested Sunmare could have been something else, but I digress.
It happens. Our next drop is the following. Boop! Is Snakes. We have Hex Drinker, Lotus Cobra, Sashido the Anointed, Ice Fang, Quaddle.
Ice Fang Quaddle.
Okay. And then Stone Coil Serpent. But that, you know that this promo is still available in the Wizard of the Coast Twitter, and the Stone Coil Serpent still has the the dude.
The little dude. So for our listeners and viewers, Stone Coil Serpent, that art in the center, there's a little dude that's being impaled by the Stone Coil Serpent, and the little dude is naked, and you can see his little balls. Yeah, you can see his little balls and dong. And that part got removed because people talked about it. Because like, oh my god, we can see his little balls, and he's being impaled. Oh, so the problem isn't him being impaled. No. That's fine. The problem is the dong.
Exactly. And the thing is that they, just for our listeners, Wizard of the Coast already released the artwork without the little character. And now people that weren't bothered about the art, well, there were people that were bothered by it, but everybody is now like, release the dong cut. You know,
yeah.
we want the card back to its original form.
It's not gonna happen.
If you guys follow us on TikTok, one of the Magic the Gathering questions of the day is if the artwork of Stone Coil Serpent bothered you when it was released. So you can go ahead and say yes or no on our TikTok if you guys follow us.
Nah, it was fine. There's probably a lot worse things to show in Magic. So it was fun.
What do you think about this drop?
This is a great drop. Okay. Especially because this is what I like Secret Lairs to be. To give something, like have a theme, and the theme be something that some people will really appreciate. I have a friend, I'm pretty sure he dismantled that deck, but because I haven't seen him play it in a long, long time, but he had Sashido the Anointed, is the other one, the three mana legendary.
You, before it was a snake?
Yeah.
Rimana Legendary.
Cassetto.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cassetto. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Orochi Archmage. He is Snake Tribal. And he had this deck, and it allows this deck, because it's exactly the colors of this set, it gives this commander a nice little boost, whether it be necessary or not, and little like nice art cards.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because Snakes is already a fringe tribe, and Hexdrinker and Lotus Cobra see fringe play. Ice Fang Quaddle might see play, but I'm not sure if the snow decks are still played. So it was just nice to see an underrepresented tribe get more love, and not really support, but love. So
yeah. I would still say hashtag release the dong cut, please. Next drop. So we have I don't remember what was this called. I think it was a female.
City Styles.
Okay. I was way off. We have Sakashima, the imposter, Massacre Girl. We have Asusa, Lost But Seeking. Taysa Karlov and Paradise Mantle. I love it.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely amazing. I love this one.
I love it.
I showed my girlfriend this one and they went crazy. They were like, oh my god, the dresses.
I loved it. Like, I like the Asusa. It's one of my favorite green cards. I like the artwork. One of the things that I love about Magic is art, I love it. Like, I would just buy this to just have the cards, literally. Just to have them. And they look beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I really do. Plus, it's really good to, you know, again, I hope that they do, like, other secret layer drops, they should do, again, like, whatchamacallit, the Mother's Day drop once again. You know, they should do these drops once again. The ones that have like special days. That should be cool. They should do it again. I will totally buy this. It looks fun. It looks fun and it looks beautiful. And I imagine them in foil, they should look way nicer in foil. Let's go to the next drop. This is really, really interesting drop. I do like it. We have Eldrazi Conception, Defining Silence. Oh shit, that's a card that I need. Counterbalance and Bruna, Light of Ascension.
Light of Alabaster.
Oh, okay. Mistaken.
Yeah, Light of Alabaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eldrazi Conscription, I'm pretty sure, was reaching up there in price. Deafening Silence is nice. Counterbalance reprint is mega nice. This is actually a very, 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 very strong card. It was used a lot in Legacy. It still sees use in Legacy. Good commander, like stupid strong commander card in the proper deck. What I see is like a small theme of like Eldrazi Conscription is an Eldrazi. Deafening Silence has a Phyrexian art on it, like that little art creature.
Mm-hmm.
Looks Phyrexian. The counterbalance is hard to pinpoint, but it looks like a devil or a demon.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have Bruna, and that's an angel. So you have Eldrazi, Phyrexian, Demon Angel.
No, it looks, I like the drop. It's
like
just
all like supernatural forces.
So I really do like it. Again, it's a nice drop. I like the artwork. I like this type of artwork. It reminds me of like the psychedelic one that was like that had Wrath of God and other cards that had like psychedelic art. I like it. You know, it looks interesting. And I like when they go on theme. You know, again, this is something that drops should be. They should have themes and bring cards that are like in theme or just reprints for us to be able to have a chance to buy the cards in a relatively cheaper price. So let's go to, I think this is the next and last drop, if I'm not mistaken.
This is the Phyrexian text ones.
Yes.
So on the top left, we got for one and a blue, that's Blighted Agent. He's a 1/1 with infect, and he is unblockable. Then we got a Kirik, Son of Yawgmoth, for 4 and triple Phyrexian black. Whenever you cast a black spell, he gets a +1 counter. You can play 2 life instead of paying the cost, black mana for any costs. Then you got Glistener Elf. When Glistener Elf enters the battlefield, when a Glistener Elf is a 1/1 with infect, that's it. Then we got Batterskull. Batterskull is 5 mana. When it has a living weapon, so when it enters, there's a germ token attached to it. It gives +4/+4 vigilance and lifelink, if I'm not mistaken. You can pay 5 mana to equip it, or pay 3 mana and return it to your hand. And then the Inkmoth Nexus, it can tap for colorless, or you can pay 1 mana and make a 1/1 flying artifact creature. It becomes a 1/1 flying artifact creature with infect.
This whole thing is just to infect you.
So it has 3 infect cards, the Batterskull, which is a living weapon card, and Kirik. Interesting that there's another Kirik when, like, the posty
drop. Yeah.
Yeah, had a Kirik. But that's fine. Even though Kirik wasn't really that expensive, he was like an $8 card.
That's true.
Still nice. He's a stupid strong card. If you're in mono black, you should probably still run him. Four mana for his effect is an absolute steal.
Correct. That is completely true. I agree. So let's see. I think that there is... Oh yeah, there is another drop. This is the...
Another Phyrexian one.
Another Phyrexian. These are the ones that come steep and complete foil.
Yeah. So we have Phyrexian Unlife, which is used in the Ad Nauseam decks in Modern. We got Phyrexian Crusader, Plague Engineer, Urtai the Corrupted, and Glissa the Traitor. Notable include being Urtai the Corrupted. Urtai the Corrupted has two to three printings. His original printing, a special foil printing, which is very, very rare. I wanted him for a bit because he seems like an interesting, like, enchantment commander.
Mm-hmm.
He can just protect himself with the counter spell attached to him, and I found that interesting. But the list has a version of him that's non-foil. So his only other printing in foil is a special printing, which is very expensive. So this is a special printing that is also foil. So it's nice, and pretty sure this. Glissa is just a good include. That's the Urtai the Corrupted in foil is probably the only notable addition.
Okay, let's go. I haven't seen these in person, so I really don't know if I like the foiling though. So when I do see one in person, I'll maybe say maybe yes or no. This is an okay drop, I guess. I don't know. I think that they could have chosen better cards, I guess, ? But it's fine. It's really fine. Yeah. So let's go ahead and finish this up real quickly.
Yeah, the RCQ top finisher promos. There's 3 of them.
Yes, well, there's more. They are available. Well, they're not RCQ. There's one more that is not here because these are the most recent ones that have been announced. There is a... whatchamacallit? What's his name?
Ragavan?
No, not Gravagan. It's for the RCQ for LGSs, the qualifiers. Jesus, I forgot. This guy, I forgot his name.
Ugin?
No, Ugin is one of, is listed here. I forgot. He's a planeswalker.
It's a fairy?
He's white. He's a white planeswalker.
Johnny? Gideon?
Gideon. There you go. Jesus, Gideon. Gideon is for one of the RCQs for LGS stores. You can, if you're I think it's on the top 8, you get a non-foil version of it, and as well the winner gets a, I think the card is here in the listed here, but you'll get an thing in the ice foil, and as well the Gideon, I think it's ally for Sendikar, foil as well. But we have here Eldritch Evolution. It's one of the promos. This is for finishers. Yeah. So what do you think?
The Eldritch Evolution is an amazing card. I've loved it ever since it got printed. I had at one point I had like 2 playsets of it. I love it. And especially the art, yeah. I like that it comes in non-foil as well. Some people don't like foiling.
Yeah, well, normally for when these things are like this, so this means that the non-foil version is for top 8 winners. When I mean top 8, I mean from 2nd place to 8th, and then the 1st place gets the foil version of it. But it all depends. I really don't know. I didn't read the in MTG Weekly. They're the ones that gave details on it. But normally it's like that. Top 8 get... the top players get the non-foil, and then the winner gets the foil version. This one of the other ones is Mystical Dispute, a very popular card used back in Standard.
It's still pretty good in sideboards. Yeah. And in budget CEDH type decks.
This is a premier play promo. So probably this is one of those special events from Wizard of the Coast. Is this time we got so many events. We have so many events. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. And so many promos as well. This is the thing in the ice. So you can get a non-foil or foil if you win. I like the art. It looks funny and cute. It looks interesting.
Yes.
I think this is the final. No, there's 2 more cards. There is the Snapcatcher, the Snapcaster Mage.
I did not see that one.
There's another one that is Premier Play event. Again, I think it's the same treatment. Top players get non-foil, and winner gets foil. This is a very interesting card.
That's a strong break. Yeah. I'm actually very surprised. That's a really good card. And its art is very, very cool. Very old school.
I know, right? It looks really interesting. I'm really excited to see how these events work. Because if I can join, I would love to, you know, see if I can try and get there. Then the last card, this regional championship participant promo. So this type of promo means that you can participate to the event, but if you participate, the non-foil version is the one that you're going to be receiving. So this regional championship, this is the Ugin, the Spirit Dragon, and you can get it foil as well if you are a winner. I did start looking in the comments. A lot of people do not like the art.
What?
Yeah, I that
what?
Was
really
yeah, exactly. Yes, a lot of people were not liking the art. I actually do like it.
I really like it.
I really hope that I wanted to see it foil, and if it's not that expensive foil, I swear I'm gonna buy one. Because it looks pretty. I really do like it. I like these type of cards. They bring a little spice to your Wait, is there one more card? Oh yeah, there is one more card.
The Unholy Heat.
The Unholy Heat. This is a card that's used in Modern a lot.
Yes.
Unholy Heat. I like the artwork as well. Wizard of the Coast is trying to bring back competitive play. It's really cool that they are trying to bring it back. We did talk about this last podcast that we were like in debates if what they're doing is the correct way, if not the correct way, because like I mentioned before, what they were doing is something that they could have done it the old school way. So JP, before we say our goodbyes, what do you think about the promos? And do you have any other final words about our topics of tonight?
I'm very excited for a lot of these promos and very much more excited for like what's to come in terms of promos, because it's been a while since we've had consistent promos and consistent art for these events. And we worry about the stock market with like all Hasbro and the parent company, of Wizards, but understanding that the community can keep something alive, and hopefully Wizards understands that and complies and helps with maintaining what they've already grown. So now that like this has been consistent information, and hopefully they understand that it's not 100% too late. Well, we'll see next year if we're still in the same space, and if we are, then maybe it is a slight worry, but it's not too late to change.
Mm-hmm. That is completely true. I agree 100% with you, JP. There is still time for change and to do better. So let's see what happens to Wizard of the Coast. I'm super excited about the promos for all of the events. I really do wish that here in Puerto Rico, the community for all different formats would be strong. But you and me know that the biggest community right now is Commander. That's what mostly people are playing now, at least here in our island. So it is sad, you know. I really do wish that competitive play comes back here in Puerto Rico and we can have a lot of events and just enjoy Magic the Gathering as much as we do, even if we play only Commander. But it brings hope for you know, people like me that would like to compete in Modern events or whatnot. That will be the end of our podcast tonight, guys. JP, where can the people find you?
You can find me here, hopefully next week, not dying from this little cold. How about you, John?
So, guys, before I say where you can find me, don't forget, you can follow Chris here in the Cardboard Cave podcast. He will be managing our Twitter soon. So expect if somebody writes to you in Twitter, it will be Chris, because he's the one that's going to be managing Twitter. If you see any type of post, other posts than the ones that I do on Facebook, it would be our friend JP. JP manages our Facebook sometimes when he has the time as well. Follow Orengo. He has his own podcast and his own website called Cinemas Podcast. He collaborates with a lot of people in the movie industry side. He's a movie reviewer and as well a movie director. And as well for myself, you can follow me in realinfilms.com. I do movie reviews and movie news as well. And here in the Cardboard Cave as well, I am the one that comments your YouTube comments and as well your TikTok comments. So we try to connect with you guys as much as we can. So we will see you guys next week. Plus, we have probably a couple of surprises for these upcoming next months. And let's see what happens. And we're going to keep doing great content for all of you. So expect this available tomorrow on your favorite audio platform. So see you guys in the next one.
Welcome to the Cardboard Cave Podcast. the number one show in Puerto Rico about trading card games. Thanks for Alter Sleeves for sponsoring our show. Use our affiliate link or code CardboardCave for 5% off your order and spice up your commander.
Remember to follow, like, subscribe to be notified, and as well listen to us on all major audio platforms. Thanks for joining.